When you're filled with the Holy Spirit, the Bible teaches that you are the temple of God. You're the temple of God, and the Holy Spirit lives within you. God's Spirit is not roommates with the devil. He's not sharing a timeshare with him. You got it? He doesn't get you 2 weeks out of the year and God gets you the rest. No. When you come to faith in Jesus Christ, you are dwelt within you the power of the Holy Spirit. And the Bible says that the same power that raised Jesus from the dead dwells with you. And if there's one thing God does not like to share, it's his presence. And so you can't share it with the devil. The other day was my daughter's birthday, one of my daughter's birthdays, and we went to Mexican food because Mexican food is from God. Can I get a witness from somebody? Yeah, it's from God. Yep. How do you know? I struggle with these really deep theological questions. How do you know when you have you're at a really good Mexican restaurant? Like, what is the scale? What do you know? How do you know that this is the place in which you're going to return? This place is really good. This is a really good Mexican restaurant. Answer, chips and salsa. How many know what I'm talking about? Chips and salsa. If they don't have chips and salsa, I don't care how good your enchiladas are or your chimichanga, I'm not coming back. Anybody else? It's gotta be good, they have to be fresh, they have to be salty, bland or not. Bland chips are not from God. You have to go up, and then once you know that the chips and salsa are delicious, then you know you have visited and you are at a superior Mexican restaurant, and you're going to return, and you're going to stay the course, and you're going to stay faithful. I am a customer for life. Let's pray and close the service. Thank you, God. Today we're continuing our series called Stay the Course. It's on the book of Hebrews, and we're learning all the things that the writer of Hebrews teaches us about staying the course and staying focused and not drifting away from the Lord and his teachings and the Word. So the question we want to ask today in this series is, why should I stay the course? Why should I stay the course? Why does it matter? Why don't I become like a lot of those people who are the supposed Christians who don't go to church, don't serve God, don't read their Bible, don't pray, don't serve, don't give, don't talk about Jesus, but in their head they think they're Christian? Why shouldn't I just be like one of them? Why shouldn't I be like everybody else and just kind of live for myself, you know, and go out and party and you know, get drunk and, you know, get high and sleep around and do all these things? Why should I just do that and live for myself? Why should I stay the course? Why should I make Jesus the priority of my life? Well, the writer Hebrews teaches us this very important point of why we should stay the course, and that's because Jesus is superior to all. Everyone say superior. Superior. He's superior to all. Now, in our culture, we have this thing called an authority crisis. People don't know who to look to for the answers. So they try to look at all these other ways to get answers, to find an authority. Who's going to tell me what to do? How should I live? What's the answer to life's questions? And so they look at all kinds of things like politics. Man, maybe the next politician will be the answer to our problems. Or maybe if I just started doing, you know, mysticism or New Age things. Or maybe if I, you know, started doing all kinds of things. Maybe science will be the answer, and that can be the authority. That'll save us from cancer and COVID and all those other C words. We even have an authority crisis in the church because some people don't know that the Bible is the authority and that God is the authority. So they start to become lax in the teaching of God's word, and they start to compromise. Maybe we should be more inclusive. Maybe we should be more accepting. Maybe we should approve of different things in the culture. And so this authority crisis happens, and the Bible teaches us completely the opposite of all these things because it tells us that Jesus is superior to all. Is he superior in your life? It is probably one of the most important questions you'll ever ask yourself. Is Jesus superior? Because the question on everyone's mind is, who can I trust? Who can I trust, and who has all the right answers for life? It's why Hebrews 2:1 is so important when we go through the study, because it says we must pay the most careful attention, therefore, to what we have heard, so that we do not drift away. We don't drift away from God's teaching. We don't drift away from the supremacy of Christ, from Jesus being superior in our life. We don't drift away. So the question is, if Jesus is superior, then what is Jesus superior to? What is he superior to? To help us understand how to stay the course, the writer of Hebrews lays out certain things in the first several chapters about why Jesus is superior. See, the problem was those people who were steeped in Judaism, they esteemed angels and Moses and the prophets like almost to this godlike status. They were so esteemed that when Jesus came along and taught about the Word of God and was the living Word of God in the flesh and died on the cross and you were saved through faith in him, it was hard for them to wrap their mind around it. So they kept trying to esteem these people almost as a greater authority than Jesus. And so the writer of Hebrews lays down how Jesus is superior and what he's superior to. And so he starts with this: Jesus is superior to all angels. To all angels. Now, there is no end to weird beliefs and old wives' tales and superstitions when it comes to angels. Maybe you have like an auntie or a grandma. She's like, oh, you know, angels this and angels that. And maybe, you know, instead of Christmas tree cookies, she makes angel cookies, you know, and you've got a little angel figurine. This will protect you. And maybe you've gotten the email, you know, forward this email to 12 people and an angel will bless you. Anybody? I know you did because I got them from you. I got those emails from you. Just a quick look through Amazon, and you can see different books like How to Work with Angels, Communication with the Divine and Angels, Autobiography of an Angel. How did they get that one? Like, could you please sit down here, Mr. Angel? I'd like to hear about your life. Dictionary of Angels, Angels, Demons, and the Nephilim, Angels and Aliens, Angels and Your Mom. Okay, the last one's not a real book. I made that one up. But there's all kinds of crazy beliefs about angels, and maybe you have some of these superstitions. You kind of like reading into these things. So let me just tell you right now and just settle it, okay? The only authority on angels is God's Word. Not a book on Amazon, not some guy on YouTube. The only authority on angels is God's Word. And that's where we get the understanding of angels, where they come from, why they're important, and why Jesus is superior to them, lest we fall into false doctrine and erroneous teaching and start believing myths and old wives' tales and start trusting in angels instead of a Savior. And so, the writer of Hebrews starts with this premise, and here's what he says, Hebrews chapter 1. So he, Jesus, became as much superior to the angels as the name he has inherited is superior to theirs. For to which of the angels did God ever say, "You are my son, today I have become your father"? Or again, "I will be his father and he will be my son"? And again, when God brings his firstborn into the world, he says, "Let all God's angels worship him." But about the Son, he says, "Your throne, O God, will last forever and ever. A scepter of justice will be the scepter of your kingdom." So here we see that Jesus is God and he rules on the throne above all things. And it goes on to say, "Are not all angels ministering spirits sent to serve those who will inherit salvation?" We learn a lot from this, and I don't have time to get into you and the whole doctrine of angels and what that means, but just to give you a few things. For instance, number one, no angel holds the place of supremacy that Jesus Christ does. Simply because Jesus holds a different relationship with God the Father than all angels. Because Jesus Christ is the Son of God and is God in the flesh. He sits on the throne of all creation. No angel holds that place. That's why he has the name that is above every name. He's Jesus Christ, the Messiah. And so as we look at that, as he's superior, that as we study the scriptures, we see that angels are created by God to serve God and serve his people. I don't want to get too far into this, but I got to tell you honestly, I really tried to skip this part. I really did. I tried to skip it. I was talking to Pastor Matt, and we were kind of like talking about the study in Hebrews. I'm not just going to skip it because, you know, people can read that on their own. Because I could literally preach on the book of Hebrews for the next 7 months. About week number 7, people would be like, oh, God, please teach something else. But something in my heart, I was like, okay, I gotta teach it, because I don't know if there's some people here that just, you have some weird thinking about angels. I just kind of want to settle the matter for you. And there's a reason it's in the Bible. As you study through the Bible, you realize that angels really are created by God to serve God and to worship God and to serve his people. That's you. Now, that doesn't mean you can call on your angel, your guardian angel. We don't call on angels, we call on the Lord. Did you hear me? We don't call on angels, we call on the Lord. Now, if the Lord wants to send his spirit or something, an angel to help us, then that's his prerogative. He's in charge of the angels, I am not. And I should clarify, and neither are you. Some of you are like, okay, darn it. Which helps us to clarify the erroneous old wives' tale that we have, that when we die, we become angels. You don't become an angel. I'm going to tell you why. We say, oh, well, Grandma got her wings, or Fluffy got his wings. No, Fluffy did not get his wings. I'm really wrecking some of you emotionally right now. You're like, what? Some of you are like, I'm going to a different church that teaches that dogs become angels. Some of you are going to leave here crying like, I've never been more depressed on a Sunday morning in my entire life. The reason you don't become angels when you die, are you ready for it? Is because just as Jesus has a unique relationship with the Father, so do you. Jesus didn't die on the cross for angels, he died on the cross for you. And because of his sacrifice, the Bible says you are adopted into the family of God, and you too are a son of God and a daughter of the Lord. And you too are an heir according to the promise. Angels are not. You are a child of God. An angel isn't. It is one of God's creations. So you have much more blessing in this relationship with God than an angel does. And so as you think about that, we recognize that Jesus is superior to all, and we give him the focus of our life. Let's continue. He also teaches us that Jesus is superior to the devil and demons. We don't like to talk about devils and demons very much because it spooks a lot of people out. You start to think about, you know, myths of ghosts and things like that and all kinds of stuff. But the devil and demons are real things. Let me help you understand it this way. Who here has really struggled with the deep theological question, why are some bags of chips so hard to open and others are not? Anybody struggle with this dilemma? It's a serious first world problem. Anybody? Why do some just tear right open and others, you're like, I've got to be like Hulk Hogan and rip them open. And then I'm scared. And if I do rip them open, they go everywhere. Come on, are you awake with me, church, right? You know what I'm talking about? These are serious issues. I'm like, and you're trying to power it open. And then all of a sudden, and chips go everywhere. Because it's got some sort of weird special hold on it. I'm like, where was this made? It's got like special glue on it. And these chips were never meant to be eaten, apparently. You have to break the power, and then it's broken. And then you can't reseal it that same way. That's why chip clips have become so popular. Well, in a very real way, Jesus, when he came, broke the power of Satan. In fact, here's what Hebrews says about it. It says, since the children have flesh and blood, that's you, he too, Jesus, shared in their humanity so that by his death he might break the power. Everyone say, break the power. Break the power of him who holds the power of death. That is the devil. And free those who all their lives were held in slavery by their fear of death. For surely it is not angels he helps, but Abraham's descendants. Stop right there. Who are Abraham's descendants? Does that mean just the Jews? No. The Bible teaches us in the New Testament that the descendants of Abraham are the children of faith. Because you believe in God and God credits it to you as righteousness. And so the descendants of Abraham are the descendants of faith. And he said, for this reason, he had to be made like them, fully human in every way, in order that he, Jesus, might become a merciful and faithful high priest in service to God, and that he might make atonement for the sins of the people. An angel could not make atonement for the sins of the people. Only God in the flesh could come down that and do that in the flesh and die in the flesh for the people of the flesh. Because he himself suffered when he was tempted, he is able to help those who are being tempted. Because Jesus came down and died on the cross and rose from the dead, he broke the power of the devil over our life and over our eternity, because Jesus is superior to all. And that's good news for you and I, because Jesus is superior to the devil and demons. Too many times in our life and in our culture, we give the devil and his little minions way too much credit. We give them way too much authority. He has no power in your life. Here's what I mean. When you give your life to Jesus Christ, the Bible teaches us that you are filled with the Holy Spirit. Everyone say filled. You're filled with the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit lives inside of you. That helps us deal with this erroneous teaching that some people are teaching from pulpits, that Christians can be demon-possessed. When you're filled with the Holy Spirit, the Bible teaches that you are the temple of God. You're the temple of God, and the Holy Spirit lives within you. God's Spirit is not roommates with the devil. He's not sharing a timeshare with him. You got it? He doesn't get you 2 weeks out of the year and God gets you the rest. No. When you come to faith in Jesus Christ, you are dwelt within you the power of the Holy Spirit. And the Bible says that the same power that raised Jesus from the dead dwells with you. And if there's one thing God does not like to share, it's his presence. And so you can't share it with the devil. And too many times, everybody says, oh man, you know, I got a demon attacking me. And everything that goes wrong in life, you got to give credit to a demon or a devil. That's so wrong. Now, does the devil attack us? Yes. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers and rulers of this present age. But let me tell you some truths about the devil. Number one, and most importantly, he's not God. He's not even a God. He's not omniscient. It means he doesn't know everything. He's not omnipresent. He can't be everywhere. And in fact, he can't even read your mind. He's not all-powerful. His power is limited. Read the book of Job. He's subject to what God allows. And Jesus is superior to him. He has no hold. You don't have power over him, but the Holy Spirit within you does. So what does this mean? How does this help me to stay the course? How can I stay the course knowing this? I want to give you one truth today, and I want to break it down for you, because it's so important in regards to Jesus being superior to angels, the devil, and the demons. And that's this. You need to worship God alone. Everyone say worship. You need to worship God alone. The reason we're talking about this in this context is because if we drift away, we can get into erroneous teaching and to weird mysticism and weird things. We watch one thing on YouTube. I remember this guy, my friend used to make fun of him all the time. My friend who's a pastor, and this guy, he had a show on TV, and he would be like, go to places, and he would do exorcisms, and he would be like, angels of God? And then the guy would be like, ooh, angels of God. It was just the weird, like, it's weirdness. Weirdness. You know, and then some cat comes from out of nowhere. That's actually not true, but in my horror, that's what happens. That's my horror film. Cat comes from out of nowhere. We worship God alone and only him. In the Bible, one of the apostles named John was sentenced to exile on an island called Patmos because he was preaching Jesus, and they didn't like it. So they exiled him on an island, and when he was in prayer, Jesus visited him and sent messages to him via angels and was kind of all kinds of great miraculous things and all kinds of signs and wonders, and that's where we get the book of Revelation in the Bible. And at one point, John was so overcome with what he saw and what he was told, he actually bowed down to worship the angel. In fact, here's what the angel said to him in response, Revelation 19. Then I fell down at his feet to worship him, but he said, "No, don't worship me. I'm a servant of God just like you and your brothers and sisters who testify about their faith in Jesus. Worship only God." Everybody say that. Worship only God. Like you actually mean it. Worship only God. That's who we worship. That's who we worship. Why do we worship him? Well, because worship connects us to Jesus. It connects us to Jesus. Why? Because we're worshiping him. The Bible tells us, in fact, Jesus said, a time is coming and is actually now here when the Father is seeking worshipers who will worship him in spirit and in truth, in the power of the Holy Spirit and in the truth of God's word. And when I worship in the power of the Holy Spirit and in the truth of God's word, it connects me with Jesus Christ, my Savior. And it keeps me from straying away. It helps me to stay the course. This is why oftentimes when people come to me for counseling, they'll say, I've got this going on. I'll say, okay, well, how's your time in worship? Are you worshiping God other than Sunday mornings? Are you listening to worship music? Are you reading God's word? Well, no. Okay, well, we got to armor up here. We got to get ready. We got to worship because it connects us to Jesus. In fact, here's what the book of Colossians says about worship. It says, "Don't let anyone condemn you by insisting on pious self-denial or worship of angels, saying that they have visions about these things. Their sinful minds have made them proud, and they are not connected to Christ, the head of the body," because they stopped worshiping him in spirit and in truth. We need to connect ourselves to Jesus and worship him in spirit and truth. Why? Because Jesus is superior, and he's worthy of all worship. Let's say, for instance, Jesus came down here during our worship service today. What I'm about to say is going to be very challenging for some of you. And he came down right here, and he stood here next to me, and we're standing on the stage, and I'm like, "Hey, look, Jesus is here." I mean, he's here in spirit. I do believe that. But he's like here physically in person. You guys following me right now? Okay. He's physically here in person, and then worship is going, and he turns to me. He says, "Zach, please don't sing." I'm like, it's really bad. Last week, I had a hot mic in service, and it was bad. It was brutal. It's very embarrassing. My family has been making fun of me about it all week, and they've listened to it online over and over again. It's very embarrassing. But sometimes, you know, you have to lead even from the front row. So anyway, so Jesus is here. He says, "Don't worship." And he looks out at worship time, and he sees you worshiping. Would he be happy with what he saw? That's challenging, isn't it? Now, we should worship Jesus more than on Sunday mornings. The Bible says to offer your bodies as living sacrifices. Our whole life should be an act of worship to the Lord. Your work life should be an act of worship to the Lord. Your relationship with your spouse and others should be an act of worship to the Lord. The way you manage your finances should be an act of worship to the Lord. All things in your life should be an act of worship to the Lord. But if he was here in this context, and he saw you worshiping here, and you were like singing praises to him, and would he be happy with what he saw? Or would he see someone who's just watching worship happen? You see, we have to worship him alone because worship connects us to Jesus. It connects us to Jesus. And worship also connects us to God's word. It connects us to God's word. The moment people, especially Christians, get into trouble is when they start deviating from God's word and they start believing erroneous things the simplicity of God's word is no longer enough for them, so they have to go into weird sensationalism and weird practices and doing all kinds of obscure things and services and then calling it the work of the Holy Spirit, and it becomes chaos because they've deviated from God's word. We have to be careful that we stick to the truth of God's word, and this is why you should know God's word, so that if ever I was to teach you false doctrine, you would know it and call me to account. Here's what the book of Galatians says. When Paul was writing to the Galatians church, they had kind of strayed away from God's word. They had strayed away from the simplicity of God's teaching, of the good news. And here's what Paul said to them. I'm astonished that you're so quickly deserting the one who called you to live in the grace of Christ and are turning to a different gospel, another way to be saved, another Jesus, another spiritual experience, another Holy Spirit, if you will, another way, not just faith, but I need to work for my salvation. So they were turning away, and he says, which is really no gospel at all. That's not a gospel. Evidently, some people are throwing you into confusion and trying to pervert the gospel of Christ. And he goes on to say this, but even if we or an angel from heaven should preach a gospel other than the one we preach to you, let them be under God's curse. As we have already said, so now I say again, if anybody is preaching to you a gospel other than the one what you accepted, let them be under God's curse. Do you think God holds a high standard to his word? The answer to that is yes. Everyone say yes. God holds his word at high standard, and anyone who deviates from that or teaches a different gospel, even if it was a supernatural being, let them be under God's curse. And so, you know, entire religions have been started because someone heard from an angel. How quickly you can be steered aside by some weird mystified feeling or emotion and deviate from God's word. If you truly worship Jesus, the Holy Spirit lives within you, and you're focused on him and his word, and then when false teaching or even false emotions and false feelings or even spiritual attack comes on your life, and you can actually have this little check in your spirit, this God-sized check in your spirit, say, hey, something's not right here, because this is not aligning with the superiority of Christ. I think this is an important subject this morning, because I got to tell you, there is no end to how many people are out there teaching things that are not even remotely close to God's word. And so with that, I want to give you an emergency announcement, and that's this. Satan will always try to steal your worship. Satan will always try to steal your worship because he wants it for himself. He's greedy. He doesn't want you worshiping anybody but him. He definitely does not want you worshiping Jesus. In fact, we know this because that's exactly what Satan tried to take from Jesus. Matthew chapter 4. Again, the devil took him to a very high mountain, that's Jesus, and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their splendor. All this I will give you, he said, if you will bow down and worship me. Everyone say worship. Jesus, if you just worship me, I'll give you all of the kingdoms of the world, which really weren't his to give because Jesus is the creator of all. Jesus said to him, away from me, Satan, for it is written, worship the Lord God and serve him only. Why? Because God is supreme. Jesus is supreme. And we don't give our worship. We don't give our attention. We don't give our love. We don't give our hearts and our lives to anybody but him who is supreme. He's over all. And he reigns over all. So where's your worship today? It's so easy to drift. A lot of times people come up with these beliefs that they have because, oh yeah, that sounds right or that feels right, but it has nothing to do with the truth. This is why we need God's word. It teaches us that Jesus is supreme and our focus should be on him, not on the teachings of this world. That's the broad road. We need to be on the narrow way. You know why the way is narrow? Jesus said, broad is the road that leads to destruction, and many go that way, but narrow is the way that leads to life, and only few find it. Do you know why it's narrow? Because there's only one way. That's why it's narrow. And Jesus is that way. Let me pray for you. Maybe you're here this morning and you have never made Jesus supreme in your life. Maybe you've just been living this kind of fake Christianity. Or maybe you don't know Jesus at all. You know God in your head, you know about Jesus, but you haven't made Jesus supreme in your life. Religion's almost to you like a hobby. Maybe you've even been believing some weird teachings, weird ideas, maybe even some old wives' tales. The Bible teaches us that Jesus is supreme over everything. He sits above. He has the name above every name. Would you like to give your life to Jesus today? It's time to let him be the Lord of your life. If you would, you could just raise your hand where you're at. If you're at home watching online, you could pray this prayer, something like this. You could say, Dear Jesus, I come to you and I ask you to forgive me of my sins. And Lord, I want you to be supreme in my life. I want you to be in first place, the king over my life. I surrender all my heart, my life, my worship to you from this day forward. In Jesus' name, amen.